This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Would you eat algae? Would you use it as an ingredient in your daily cooking? It might sound disgusting, but you have probably already eaten algae the last time you were in a Japanese restaurant. There are four types of edible algae: seaweed, like nori and wakame, sea moss, chlorella, a single-celled green algae that lives in freshwater, and spirulina, a blue-green algae that can be digested by the human body in its whole form. Spirulina has been a food source for millennia. It's been a popular supplement in the U.S. for decades, and it's being produced right here on the Central Coast. So the Playing with Food team trekked to Southern Slow County to discover this treat.
My name is Dale Solomon, and I'm an algae farmer.
This is Oasia Farms.
This is spirulina, also known as Arthrospira platensis, and it is a blue-green algae. Spirulina is an amazing health food. It's a complete food, which means you could eat nothing but spirulina and get all of the protein, carbohydrates, healthy fats, omega-3s, vitamins, everything that your body needs, and it would be enough for you to subsist on. We're here at Greenhouse One, and this is our brand new, beautiful culture that we're scaling up. This is our new pond. We're basically scaling this up, getting it ready so that we can eventually harvest it. If you scoop in a little handful here, you'll see it's a microscopic organism. So this, can you kind of see those little grains of sand there?
Yeah.
So that's the spirulina. And what we're going to be doing when we harvest is actually filtering out those teeny tiny little specks, and eventually it'll form a mat of spirulina. It'll look like green yogurt almost. We take that product, we press it, we cool it, we package it, and that is the final product that we consume on Harvestly and Farmer's Market.
We're in a polytunnel, basically, and there's this pool that runs the length of it, and it looks like a lap pool, and the paddle wheel is keeping it moving, but at the other end that we can't get to, it looks like it's open. So it looks like a down and return kind of thing.
That's right. It's a giant loop or an oval shape that just goes back and forth, around and around. There's a center wall in the middle dividing it, but it's just a giant racetrack type shape where the water can flow around and around in a circle.
Where does the algae originally come from?
Spirulina, originally it's from Lake Chad in Central Africa, and there's also a strain from Lake Texcoco in Mexico. One is called Spirulina platensis, and I believe the other one is Spirulina maxima, if I have that correct. Usually, commercial farms grow the Spirulina platensis. The Kanembu tribe in Central Africa would cultivate this. Eventually, the Western world found out about it, and we've been commercially growing spirulina since the 70s.
Oh, okay, so this isn't a new thing.
No, it's not. No, it's very old. The Aztecs grew it on Lake Texcoco hundreds and hundreds of years ago, so native peoples have been growing spirulina, but it became commercially available around the 70s.
There are four other lap pools that are empty. How are you going to start this lap pool here?
This one will continue to grow denser and have more and more spirulina cells. Well, then we'll dilute it to keep it around the same density with more water and nutrients. We have a specific formula of water and fertilizer nutrients that we add. And it'll, again, get more dense and need more space. So then we'll pump half this pond into the other one and, again, start adding more water and nutrients, what we call a dilution process. So it's growing and growing and filling out this new home, this extra water, and it'll continue doing that until it ends up in our biggest pond over in the other greenhouse. And it would go like that, adding water and nutrients until all the ponds are full, the entire farm is fully functional. Then we begin the harvest process. We have these pumps here, and we can electronically control this pump from inside of our processing area. So we can speed up and slow the pump down exactly how we want it. So if the harvest is flowing really well, the cells are filtering, we can run that pump faster and get more pounds per hour. If we want to slow it down a little bit, or if the culture is very dense and we just don't need to pump as much, we can slow that pump down. And these pipes bring it into and then return the filtered media back out to the pond. So we're recycling that media. And every single day, we're just trimming back the pond, harvesting it, and pumping that plain water and fertilizer mix without the spirulina back to the pond.
Is this kind of like a sourdough starter where you bought an original jar of spirulina and then just grew it and...
And you're always adding more sourdough and letting it grow out. That's exactly right. It's a culture. And in that case, the culture medium, or the thing that it's growing in, the culture's house, is the bread dough. In this case, it's water. What we call culture medium is water and fertilizer that it grows in. It's constantly getting a new house. Even when we've got it up to scale, when we have the entire farm full, every week or two, we're taking some of that culture and we're throwing it away and adding fresh new water, fresh new nutrients. Just like you have an aquarium that's always getting filtered, that's what we're doing here, is we're always refreshing, cleaning, adding new nutrients into that pond.
The next part in terms of the harvest, so when you're pumping it out of one of the ponds, you're filtering out the spirulina and you're putting the water and nutrients back into the pond in order to be used again.
That's exactly right. Instead of billions and billions of tiny little algae cells, imagine if it's a gigantic aquarium and you have sardines in there. And every day you're going to take maybe 10 sardines out, and then 10 new little sardine babies are going to start growing. Then you take 10 more out the next day. And you're always putting that water back in without the sardines, but then the next day you'll remove another 10 sardines and put the water back empty. We're basically always matching the growth of that pond and keeping it at a relatively similar density so that the next day we're able to come back and get another 10%, just shave off a little bit.
You've been to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, haven't you?
You can tell. Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's like my favorite exhibition at the aquarium is that there's two of them, aren't there? There's one that's the entryway to the big window.
And it's giant. Yeah.
And then the other one is its own little cylinder with the sardines in it. How long does it take to grow from when you first fill a pond to when you start to harvest it?
It depends on what you're starting with, of course. If you're starting with a liter or a tiny little bit, to get to the point where you're at a 90,000 liter pond, it's going to take about a month and a half, maybe 2 months, 2.5 months, depending on the temperature and the growth conditions. What we're looking at here is this pond, which is still relatively small. We're going to get the entire farm full within about a week and a half just from this culture. So that's the beauty of this type of thing, is it's growing exponentially. It's doubling every 2 to 3 days. And in the next 2 to 3 days, it's double that. So 2, 4, 8, 16 times, and you can expand very, very rapidly that way.
Is this the only pond that has anything in it right now?
No, there's another one. It's an older culture that we're getting ready to dump out.
Oh, wow.
It's big, yeah.
Wow. And it's so, quite warm in here as well.
It's toasty. Yeah, it's real toasty. You want me to turn the fan on? Part of the beauty of this farm is that it's highly automated. And I've really leaned into that automation and technology, because as a small business, there's very little margin for error and there's very little profit margin. So you have to, as I say, work smarter, not harder. We've got this really wonderful system that automates the temperature of our pond. So from my phone, I just turned on the fans here. As you can see, the vents here open up. There's a little time delay relay. The fan down there will click on. There we go.
Ooh, I feel it already.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so this is enormous, and you said you're about ready to dump this?
We're going to dump this out. Yeah, we're going to harvest what's left in it and get rid of the culture. It's been operating for about 3 months now. We've done some smaller dilutions in the meantime, so we'll take maybe 15% of the pond every couple weeks, throw it out, and put in fresh water. But it just needs to get cleaned. As you can see, there's some algae that's formed on the ring as a ring around the pond. And we just got to get in there, clean all that out. And then we spray it down with vinegar at the end. That helps to sterilize the pond.
Okay, so how long does the culture last then?
About 3 months, three and a half months. And then we'll dump it, start over from the beginning. Because the pond is operating at high pH, you can get a lot of water hardness that sort of falls out of solution. So you see this on your shower head, right? That kind of scaly looking stuff. And that can form at the bottom of the pond, and that can be a problem because it's now a house for bacteria. So we're always fighting back that mud, trying to get rid of it, trying to get that, we call it mud, but it's just calcium, and remove it, because we don't want a scaffolding or a house for bacteria to form at the bottom of the ponds.
When you say you're going to dump this 90,000 liters, where does it go?
It goes outside to our evaporation pond, and right now that's basically just a holding tank. What we're working on in the future is to be able to use the nutrients that are in there. It's a little bit dirty. It's not good enough for food grade use, but we can use those nutrients to grow spirulina for fertilizer. So we're hoping to open up a new fertilizer line, and that spirulina that's produced from that would be organic fertilizer. It's a soil amendment. It's full of all sorts of omega-3s, which are good for strawberries. And we can also use that in soil to improve the microbial health of the soil. So it's a really wonderful fertilizer soil amendment. Hopefully we can have it be clean or just a little bit salty water by the end of that process, bringing us full circle and having a closed loop system where we're not producing waste.
Let's go inside.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm at Oasia Farms learning about the production of the blue-green algae, spirulina, as a food source. Dale just gave me a tour of the ponds. As simple as the ponds are, they are hard to visualize, so pop over to the podcast on the KCBX website later today and have a look at the photos. We've now gone inside to see what happens once spirulina is harvested and to have a taste.
So, well, this is fun. Are we going to be able to see something coming out of the press?
Yes, our last batch.
So you saw those pipes from outside that are going into the pond. You saw the pump, and then it pumps that spirulina inside of the shipping container office that we have here. Then it comes down here. There's a filter, 300 micron stainless steel filter that removes any debris if there's bug that got into the pond or a leaf that fell in there. It's an enclosed environment, but you still, just from opening a door, you might get an occasional fly or something that gets in there. Right. So we're filtering all that. And then it's coming down here through this pipe. Normally this cylinder here is going to be covered in a filter material.
So what are you doing here?
Right here is the biomass. Well, sorry, the final product of what comes out of the harvester. Actually, what comes out of the vacuum press. When coming out of the harvester, it's more of a wetter, thicker biomass. And we set it up inside this filter right here, and it's a vacuum press. So we suck out all the culture medium that's inside the product, and here we have the final product.
You brave enough to try a little bit?
Sure. Okay, I'm gonna try some.
It's dry.
Dry.
Pretty flavor neutral.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Pretty flavor neutral.
So that's surprising to a lot of people who know spirulina because they're used to the powder.
It's kind of got a texture between, I don't know, Wonder Bread and a yoga mat. I mean, it looks like a yoga mat, actually. It looks like a dark green yoga mat,
yeah,
right? When he's working with it, and I'm like, but then he gave me a taste, and it was a completely different texture than
you were expecting.
Than I was expecting, yeah. I can't even describe this. It's kind of like, it's like cookie dough when you've only put half the flour in it.
Yeah, or maybe like a pistachio butter. I always get that kind of like a light, nutty flavor. It's meant to be very mild. What we're doing here is we're trying to show people that spirulina doesn't have to be a weird, yucky powder supplement. It's a fresh food. You can put it in your salad. You can put it in a smoothie. You can use it just like you would use an avocado. Put it on toast. Have fun with it. You know, make a little dip and have some crackers with it. Just incorporate it into your diet and use it like you would other veggies. It doesn't have to be a supplement, and it definitely doesn't have to be smelly.
You have it in a plastic tub now. How much is that?
Right here we have 3,826 grams.
Okay.
And I can separate it in another container so I can properly place it inside an ice bath so it can get down the temperature and we can pack it.
And you're going to pack it just like that?
In this form, yes.
Yeah. Correct.
Once
you package it, you're packaging it for sale.
We do have a number of different packaging solutions. So for some of our customers, they're getting it wholesale and they're going to want to take it and put it in their own packaging. Maybe they're using it as an ingredient in, say, a juice. And then we also have our own products that are going into, say, a jar that's being sold at Harvestly or at Farmer's Market. We have a frozen product line. So there's a number of different ways that we package this, but this is the main ingredient in all of them. The only one that's not pure spirulina is sometimes when we're freezing it, we do have to add a little water to get it to flow into either our mold or through our packaging machine. But it's all just spirulina here.
I missed the harvest, and you said this is the last press. Was that from this morning's harvest?
Yes, it was from this morning's harvest.
Okay, and that's 3.8 kilograms or 8 pounds. How much did you get from the harvest this morning?
Today's goal was actually 40 pounds.
What are some of the issues that you can have with growing spirulina?
Some of the issues with growing spirulina are managing the genome of the spirulina. So if you think about harvesting a product like this, it's basically the opposite of Darwinism, which is that the fittest survive, right? The best, the biggest, the strongest animals and plants, those are the ones that go on to live. Well, that's the opposite here. The ones that are the biggest, most robust, best cells, those are the ones that are getting harvested. And if there's a weak, scrawny little cell, it might just slip right through the filter. And over time, what you find is that the culture gets more and more difficult to harvest because of those one or two cells every single time slipping through. And those are the ones that go to repopulate in the pond. So we're always looking for a new culture to scale up every few months and repopulate the pond If we didn't do that, our job would quickly become insufferable. It would become very, very difficult.
Where do you get your new culture?
There's a company down in San Diego. They go in with a microscope and they'll actually identify one or two single cells that they like. They'll isolate them and scale that up. And that kind of lab work is just not something that we don't have the equipment and the manpower to do that. But we get our new culture from them, and it's always worked fantastic.
You said the different types of products. What is like the distribution of Oasia?
I would say that it's probably about 75% wholesale, maybe even more. We do have a small amount of online sales, so that's something we're actually looking to grow. And we can ship currently all throughout the U.S., all 50 states. That's something that I'm hoping to grow in time. I've been spending most of my time for the last 8 years just focusing on making the farm the best that it can be, being very efficient, automating all those things. But now we've got a little extra time on our hands, and I'd like to expand into the direct-to-consumer world, which is online sales.
Who's buying it wholesale, and what are they doing with it?
There's folks that are using it as an ingredient, and there's also folks that take it, and then they'll ship it out. They've got individuals, either stores that are selling it on the shelf, using it as an ingredient in their products that they make, or folks that are going back out and selling it as just a plain old product, just plain spirulina, and they've been doing a lot of those online sales.
How long have you been doing this?
About 8 years now.
What got you interested in this?
So originally I found out about the algae world when I was in college. I was in an environmental club, and I just found it fascinating. There's someone that presented about algae as a fuel source, biofuels. And I looked into that. It didn't seem like there weren't any companies that were doing it successfully. Not that the technology doesn't exist, but that they weren't able to compete with fossil fuels economically. And so the business model failed. But I still thought that there was a really great opportunity in the industry to fight climate change, to reduce emissions, find a more sustainable way to do things. It ended up being in the agriculture industry, not in the energy industry. In agriculture, we use diesel tractors and trucks. We have large pieces of equipment, and we also are damaging the land. We're creating dead zones in the ocean, which become these giant sources of methane. The agriculture industry, in many ways, direct and indirect, contributes to climate change. And I thought that switching over to a very sustainable crop like this and proving that it's successful would go a long way to helping address that. But no one wants to have something that's more expensive and worse than the alternative. We need to show people, this is delicious. It's so much better than powder. It's good for you. It's great for the planet. And right now, it is a premium product. But as we grow and scale, my dream is to make this affordable to anyone and have it be on shelves and grocery stores all over the country. I know we can do that if the company can grow big enough and have economies of scale.
This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm on a spirulina farm learning about the benefits of spirulina as a food source. We've seen the ponds, we've seen the final product, we've tasted it. Let's find out what you can do with it. But first, a word from his production manager, Miguel.
So with Dale, I've been with him for about 4 years now. It's an absolute privilege to consume the spirulina fresh out of the pond, fresh out of the press, because I had the powder stuff. I used to work at a vegan restaurant in New Jersey. But I was just a teenager over there, and I had the powder stuff, like, yuck, gross, what is this? And then growing up, I was like, got a little bit more serious with my health and what I put into my body, and came across Dale with the Oasia Farms in Little Rock, and from there is all uphill. I love it.
Okay, you started out in Little Rock?
Yes, Little Rock, California.
Oh, okay.
No.
So you knew about the product beforehand?
Yes, I only knew the powder and the pill forms of it, okay. the drier stuff, the funkier stuff.
Can you show me your products? Do you have any?
Sure, yeah, we have some here. So you're going to actually get an exciting look into one of our newest products. This is our pods. Remember I mentioned to you earlier that there's certain products that we add water to. This is one of them. We get it to flow through this machine that you see here. It's got a hopper on top and uses a pneumatic piston to push the spirulina into a little single serving packet. And the exciting thing about this is that we took it and we froze it with liquid nitrogen. So when you flash freeze something, the ice crystals that form are very, very tiny, and it does significantly less damage to the cell structure of the thing that you're freezing. It's more expensive, but when you have a premium product like this, it just makes such a big difference in the quality. When I thawed this out for the first time and tried it, it, I thought, this is so creamy. It almost, and flavor neutral, it almost tastes like ice cream, but without any flavor, like if you just made whole milk into ice cream. It was delicious. I fell in love with it. We're looking at ways to use liquid nitrogen at scale, not just on an experimental level. Anyway, I'm going to give you this
okay.
so you could try it and see what it's like. You can eat it like a popsicle.
Okay.
And it's so good for you, and it's delicious too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And do you have any labeled products that I could take a picture of?
Sure, yeah. I don't know if we've made the jars yet.
Is that an indication that you're not warehousing anything? You process it, you package it, it goes out?
This is as fresh as it gets.
Okay.
It's going out the same day, yeah. Okay. And if you're in Los Angeles, if you're anywhere in Southern California, you're getting that product the next day. So talk about farm fresh. It's being harvested, say, if it's a Tuesday morning around 5 a.m., it's being sent down to temperature and packaged by 12, dropped off to FedEx, and then delivered to your house the next day, sometimes as early as 10 or 11 a.m. So it's a very fresh product, and it's a short shelf life product, so we want to keep it that way so that people can use it within about a week and a half.
So you said you have recipes on your website?
We do, yeah. You can find, I think it's about a dozen different recipes. You can put it in avocado toast. You can put it on a salad dressing. You can put it in a yogurt bowl. It's great in the morning. It's got a lot of protein, and it's very filling. I've had a lot of customers tell me that it gives them energy and helps them fight craving for snacks and things like that throughout the morning. A lot of the recipes are centered around that. But you can also use it in a dinner dish as well. There's a lovely cilantro salad dressing. My girlfriend makes that. It's probably my favorite thing that we make with spirulina. And also coconut. Is delicious. Coconut water with spirulina is fantastic.
Okay, I'll look into some of those recipes to see what I can do with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that that'll make it home, but you could try. I would probably recommend eating that today.
Okay.
Whenever I meet with people, they always have four questions. How do I use it? How long does it last? What's the price? And how much do I take?
I did have that question, like, what is the limit and are there any side effects? I did a show on all things fermented. There's this coconut yogurt and it comes in pint jars. I took a scoop after I tasted it was when he was telling me you only need like a tablespoon a day. If you ate a whole jar of this, you'd probably be on the toilet all day. And I was like, well, I'm glad you told me before I had any more.
There shouldn't be any side effects. I mean, I guess with anything, you could drink too much water and that could kill you. So like, it does have a lot of protein. I wouldn't go eating pounds and pounds of it in a day.
Okay.
That might be a little too much for your kidneys. But no, it's a food just like any other. So if you like kale, if you like avocados, go ahead and eat a bunch of them, you know? If you like spirulina and you're enjoying the health benefits of it, if you can feel the difference in your body, there's no reason why you can't have 4, 5, 6 tablespoons in a day. Although generally we recommend anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon to start. That's enough where you'll feel the health benefits of it.
Okay, that's good to know.
There's a company that uses our product called Mingle-licious, something like that on Instagram. And they make this product, I'm pretty sure it's the coconut meat and the coconut water, and they puree it. So it has this really nice thick, like a smoothie kind of consistency. Delicious. I think they're Thailand coconuts, so they have a little sweetness to them. And then they mix the spirulina in. I think they kind of like twirl the spoon as they're putting it in. So it gets this like beautiful marbled, deep green and white color. It's the most delicious, beautiful looking product. If you guys are in Santa Barbara or Ventura area, they're in farmers markets all throughout there. They kind of turned me on to the coconut spirulina mix.
What a fascinating farm right here on the Central Coast. I took my little sachet of spirulina home and I did what Dale suggested. I added it to foods. I made guacamole and just squirted about a teaspoon of spirulina into it. I've never seen such green guacamole. If you check out the photos on the podcast site, you'll understand what I mean. I topped some fruit with it as well. Because it's flavor neutral, it didn't really change the flavor. I knew, though, that I was adding protein and nutrients to my diet. I didn't have enough over a long enough period of time to notice a change in my health, but it definitely was a positive experience. If you're looking for a food that has everything you've ever wanted, well, except dairy fat, then check out spirulina. A clinical study that is posted to the National Library of Medicine clearly sets it on the opposite side of the spectrum to those health supplements that you get at the dollar store. The research article by Karkos, Long, Karkos, Sijavi, and Asimakopoulos states, spirulina refers to the dried biomass of Arthrospira plantensis, an oxygenic photosynthetic bacterium found worldwide in fresh and marine waters. This alga represents an important staple diet in humans and has been used as a source of protein and vitamin supplement in humans without any significant side effects. Some highlights are that it can have up to 70% protein, and many toxicological studies have proven it safe. But the most exciting aspect of spirulina is not in the pond or in the paper. It's in the heavens. The abstract to the paper begins with, "Spirulina is a blue-green alga that became famous after it was successfully used by NASA as a dietary supplement for astronauts on space missions. Spirulina, food for infinity and beyond." This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.